Today we're going to talk to Elizabeth Kurlikowski about her newest chapbook called Last Hula. It is the winner of 2013 SRCA Open Poetry Chapbook Competition. Elizabeth Kurlikowski is the winner also of the 2010 Dunes Review Shaw Prize and also of a Kalamazoo Community Literary Award for Poetry. Her work has appeared in the journals Slab, The Ambassador Project, New Verse News, Cincinnati Review, Passenger, and a lot of others in some anthologies. She is also the author of 6 books of poetry and prose, including Rib and the one she most enjoyed writing, The Shape of Dad. Elizabeth earned her master's from the University of Colorado in Boulder and her PhD from our own Western Michigan University. She has taught at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek, Michigan for 18 years. Elizabeth is also the president of Friends of Poetry, a 37-year-old nonprofit dedicated to poetry. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
Can you tell us more about the SRCA Open Poetry Chapbook Competition and who and what is?
Standing Rock Cultural Arts. It's in Ohio.
Okay.
And they are a little bit like Friends of Poetry, but they have like a structure that they're housed in. And they have a yearly contest. I think that this is the 4th or 5th winning book of their series. And that's why it has to be black. They want them to all look alike.
Okay. The Last Hula. Hula is a dance, a chant, a song. Talk to us about this title and this poetry collection.
I will talk to you about the title in terms of this. The judges didn't like it because they didn't think it had anything to do with the book. Mm. And I say it has everything to do with the book, and I prevailed, obviously. But Last Hula, the title poem, is about my dad's, when he was lying in his bed the last month of his life. He was clearly doing things with his hands, like he would be stringing Christmas lights. You could just tell that's what he was doing. Or he would be shaping things or cleaning things. So his hands were moving all the time. Mm. And it seemed like the most dancing he could do at that moment. And it was all like the history of his whole life was in what his hands were doing.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing glossy here when I read through this chapbook. Your work, Elizabeth, always has a solid grounding to it, the grit of real life, the wrinkles of real faces. I mean, there's cigarettes and ashes and you know, nothing's prettified, and I love that. Talk to us about your style and how you developed it.
Jack Webb is my role model from Dragnet because, like, just the facts, ma'am, are what he always would say. And I felt like I wanted to just present things with definitely without being pretty. My goal in writing this was not even to present a balanced view of my father's life. It was strictly about, like, the last month of his life. Mm. And I think now, when I read this at a reading, I think I'm just going to read straight through it like it's one long poem because mm-hmm. it really is.
Yeah. You have a quote at the beginning of the book by Bud Curley, write it or forget it. Is writing a way of journaling for you, a way of capturing those important moments in your life?
I've never journaled. I hate to say this. I've never done that because I write poems. So all my boxes and boxes of poems are my journals. Mm-hmm. But my dad would hand out calendars every year to people that said, write it or forget it. And that is absolutely true. If you don't write it down, you forget it. And he was not coming at that from the point of view of a writer, but as a businessman. Mm. So, but the advice was still good either way.
Tell us a little bit about who your father was.
My dad was a very colorful character who ran a beer distributorship. It was the largest one in Southwest Michigan. He also invested in oil wells. Hmm. He loaned money to millions of people who never paid him back because he was a very trusting person. Mm-hmm. He enjoyed being a big party giver. I was thinking on the way over here that some people, like from the television of our childhood, mm-hmm. you would want to have like Robert Young as Father Knows Best as your father, but my dad was Bob Cummings in Love That Bob. If you remember that show, he was a Playboy photographer. Mm-hmm. And that is what my dad was like. And I, you know, he wasn't the greatest father when I was a kid. He wasn't your stay-at-home, let's all eat dinner together father, but he was kind of an amazing partier father. Mm-hmm. And he always had a check for you if you needed it, and he was always there in a crisis. But he was a much better grandfather than he was a father. I think he was great at that.
I think a lot of us learn from our mistakes. You know, we make better grandparents. And there are so many heart-shuddering lines in these poems, especially for anyone who has sat by the bedside of a beloved elder person and learning to let go. One of them, a lifetime of touch in one night, an hour later, cool into cold. You could say that's minimalist, and yet you capture it all.
Thank you.
Yeah. You make a wonderful fuss over poetry in Kalamazoo. You've been leading Friends of Poetry for quite some time, haven't you? What is Friends of Poetry?
It feels like it's part of my skin. Friends of Poetry is a group mm-hmm. of, I think we have 11 people who are official board members and many other unofficial members. And we do a variety of things in the community. We run the Poems That Ate Our Ears contest for mm-hmm. kids. We have a reading series at the library, and we branch out and have Artifactory at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum. And we've had a program at the Ladies Library. So we do that. We've painted the murals on buildings. And now we're thinking of branching out into doing chapbooks for people. Surprise!
Wow.
I know, it's
a
new thing. I just got my board to agree to that.
Is that going to be just for the region or anyone? Or
well, there are many things that need to be decided, but we're working with Kellogg Community College because they have a design class. And Penny Rose, the instructor, asked me if she could use like 16 of my poems mm-hmm. For their class to design a book. And I said, sure. Well, the book turned out great. So then she said, well, we could do this every year. So the labor is pretty much free. And publishing through Kellogg is incredibly inexpensive. So it's like the perfect alignment of things. I think I would like to do a regional contest because it's also a fundraiser for us. We would charge like $5 to read the manuscript, but that's minimal compared to what Standing Rock Cultural Arts charges.
Yeah.
Which I think was 15.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a logical progression for us in our development.
Well, that's good news. You heard it here first.
Yay.
Or at least I did. So why is poetry important, Elizabeth?
To me or to the world?
Both.
I think poetry is about telling the truth. And the truth is, I would say, the most important thing to me in my life. And writing poetry has kept me alive, I would say. Because I'm bipolar, and now that I'm taking medication for it, things are pretty easy. But when I was growing up, it was only writing that kept me here on earth. And I think that's true for a lot of people. And with my students, I look for those people that really need to write. You need to write this down, because then you can deal with it if you write it. If you don't write it, it's just still floating around in there in a non-healthy way.
I've always thought of writing as this metaphor, the oyster with that grit of sand that turns into a pearl, that you just kind of mm-hmm. roll it around in there, and it agonizes you until you create something beautiful out of it.
And to go with that, writer's block to me seems like an unwillingness to deal with what you know is going to come out. If you sit down to write, mm-hmm. you've got this thing on your mind. And if you see it, you have to deal with it. So if you don't see it, you can just like pretend.
Yeah. You're a professor and educator at Kellogg Community College. Why does education seem to have such an issue with poetry, maybe more so in grade schools, but to the point where people grow up intimidated by it? You know, it's like, oh, I don't get it. It's too difficult.
Well, they're meeting the wrong poems at the wrong time in their lives. Mm. And I felt that very strongly in school, even when I was writing poems. Those weren't the poems. I mean, I was being shown all poems by white middle-aged guys from the 1400s and 1500s, and to little hippie Elizabeth in Grand Rapids, that just was not cutting it. You know, I was not getting what I needed from there. So yeah. I sought out my own people, but I think a lot of the people who teach poetry are feel insecure about it themselves and pass that on to the students. Because I firmly believe anybody can write a poem.
Yeah. No argument there. So should all poets play Scrabble?
I think it helps a lot. I love playing Scrabble, but sometimes the words are so obscure you really can never use them.
Yeah.
Because they sound strange. But I think there's a certain agility. Like, I'm so good at words that if I'm playing words with friends with someone and they start using a helper, I can tell.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know that word. I know you don't know that word.
Yeah.
So
do you usually win?
I would say I'm 50-50 because I play with really good people.
Yeah. Good for you. Keep yourself challenged. Make a poem out of some of those
Scrabble
games. I
want to win all the time.
So what great projects do you have underway now that Last Hula is done?
I really don't know. I'm getting ready to, I don't want to say retire, change careers and go back to my regular one, which was writing poetry and making visual art. So I feel like the whole world is opening up to me now. And
nice.
Like it's been sort of, here's what you do. And now it's like, oh, you can do anything. So it's really a great feeling.
Good.
I've loved teaching. Don't get me wrong, but.
So we haven't seen the Last Hula out of Elizabeth.
You have not.
All right. Are you doing any kind of special book launch or readings? Anything
I'm
coming
reading
up?
At the Parchment Pub Community Library. I think it's
Community Library.
On March 26th at 6:30, there will be refreshments. And I will not read for a long time, and I will be very entertaining.
Oh, you always
and
are.
It won't be depressing.
Okay.
Even though this book is about death, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah. Well, and this is radio, so people don't get to see your sneakers. But if you wear those to your readings, so describe the sneakers, Elizabeth.
Describe the sneakers. Well, they are multicolored. They look like saddle shoes and buckets of neon paint put together.
Mm-hmm. So read something for us.
I will. My dad was always called Bud by people, and I read in the Reader's Digest when I was a kid that progressive families, the children called their parents by their first name. So I tried it with my grandfather, Leo. That did not go over well. But I did it with Bud, and he was fine. So it was Bud forevermore. So this is called Bud Sitting. I don't have my glasses on. I think I can hold it far enough away. Bud Sitting. Lungs, little moths of wanting, one more smoke. Thin is a zipper that's learned to stand up. The cane is new and steadies that old man who was my dashing father, who stepped right from the rat pack into our 4th of July, pockets swinging with juicy fruit and firecrackers, told ghost stories in October and reappeared with too much Christmas. Who knows what he thinks staring at the pond, picking thread from the whales of his trousers? The pillow flattens his hair with oily rain, all moving in one direction like hay down in a storm.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in to talk to us, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.